So we talk to say in the language of the Kiddush Levono, the Rabbi says if Kaiser wasn't, all they had was the opportunity to be to Makal Peneshkina every month, that would have been worth it. So the Rosh takes that point. So Rabbi Rucham speaks about that. Where's the Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina that you see over there? Why do you see the Pnei Shechina? So the Ben Yonah says on that Gemara, because when the moon gets smaller, then it goes away totally, and then it comes back again. The hisrakshus of that, right, gives you helps you be Makal Pnei Shechina. So Shaila is, Rabbi Yochanan says, but we know why it happens. We can predict it. He says it doesn't make a difference. The nature of human beings, we are affected by that which our eye sees. And the eye sees that the Levana gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and it goes away. And all of a sudden, the Levana comes back. Right? So there's hisrakshus at that moment. I had a meister once. I'm not going to pull out the years, what year it was, but there was a earthquake in Cleveland, and it affected you, like, you know. The experience of sitting on standing on the ground, all of a sudden feeling the whole building going up and down, and like it definitely shook you up. Excuse the pun, right? That, you know, the world is not as solid. It's not like, you know, the world is automatic. Everything. It's not as solid. You know, the world can go up and go down. When it happened, we, like most of them didn't realize. Well, we couldn't figure out what was going on. Right. There was one bucker in the yeshiva who had experienced the earthquake in Mexico City, to Mexico, where people were killed and the buildings collapsed. He hopped immediately. He flew out of the building. I never saw a person run as fast as that bucker did. We're also like, what is it? Now, there's a bracha you say in an earthquake. Nobody said a bracha, but nobody caught what it was. He probably didn't say bracha either, because he was supposed to the state of, you know, total panic. And I thought, you know, I shouldn't have said a bracha. So was it a bomb? Was it a plane going by? Was it a truck? But the whole building went up and down. This is the yeshiva building. The whole thing moved. So I was talking with the yeshiva of time afterwards. He said a fascinating thing. He said, back in Shtetl, the loudest noise in Shtetl was when the chamor would bray. That was the biggest noise. You know, there were some ices that you had back in Shtetl. You know, they lived in they were still in the world of outhouses, pumping water and wood stoves. You know, so the Mora says that the Russia created Ra'amim, the purpose of thunder is to straighten out the crooked kite in the person's heart. Person is, you know, has the vapors, whatever. He has a moment, he lives through a thunderstorm, and he's so overwhelmed by the sound that he does true. That's the Morris thing. He says, we don't see nowadays people get overwhelmed by thunderstorms. Back in Shtetl, with the loudest noise, which in Shtetl was the chamor, right? When the thunderstorm came through the city, your pashim were shooken up. It says nowadays you need an earthquake to shake you. That was his aura. So once upon a time, the Yerucham says a person will go out and see the new moon and say, "Wow, new moon!" The Baruch was putting his conscious on the Bria. The Mamash the Shekhinah coming to us. Nowadays you need a solar eclipse to do it for you. Like, you know, we're not the Suragas from the Kiddush Levana, from the Levana, but a person stands by an eclipse. He says, wow, the Bresham, the Chabad Chaim, the cycles of the eclipse work. An eclipse cycle is, it's not correct to say it's an eclipse cycle. Eclipse cycle is 18 years and 11 days. So if you do your math, 5 cycles ago was 90 years ago. And 55 days, you do your math, right? So in 1927 there was an eclipse, but the way the cycle works is this is your globe and this is where the eclipse will be now. And 8 years from now it'll be the same. The eclipse is a period, every 2 years there's an eclipse, right? Earth. So but they have a pattern where they are. In 8 years from now that same pattern will play out, but it'll be a little bit further along the globe. And that's how it plays out. So in 1927, the Chofetz Chaim, there was an eclipse in Radom. And we were Zeichel Baruch Hashem, there's a Yid named Rishon Plitzkin. He has a son named Rizella Plitzkin. You might have heard of the name Rizella Plitzkin. He's got a lot of books. So Rizella Plitzkin's father, his name was Rishon Plitzkin. He was a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim. He actually wrote a biography of the Chofetz Chaim called, in Yiddish, called Der Chofetz Chaim. So he wrote an article about the experience of experiencing the eclipse together with the Chofetz Chaim. And the day before the eclipse, he writes that the Chofetz Chaim gave a shmooze in yeshiva. He said it's a mitzvah to go see the eclipse. He says, why? Because when you see the eclipse, it reminds you that the sun is just a nivra. And the Bayarlam runs the world. He says, and once you recognize that, it reminds you that you're also only a nivra, and you don't run the world. So it overcomes the avodah zarah of the sun, and the avodah zarah of human beings that they think. Then he describes the Chofetz Chaim going out, and they cut a chair for him. He was already 87 years old, and he walked and said, well, right, so they cut a chair for him, and they describes how they made the glasses that they used for the eclipse. Then he writes that when they came back inside afterwards, the Chofetz Chaim made a siman of Nitzua, victory. We won over the Avodah Zarah, so think of the sun as an Avodah Zarah. That's what he writes this story. Be'etzem, the Gemara is telling me that you could do that every month with the moon. Every month that you see the moon, you realize the Bershom is running the world. You're becoming Kabbal Paneshkin. You're seeing the Bershom intervening in the world, as it were. Ah, you know the cycle, but that's not how human beings are in Yisragish. We become, to some extent, our senses are so deadened that maybe, Bishas, you see an eclipse, you remind you that the Bershom is the one who's in control of the world. See, Mama Shirashkin. Maisa, so we saw it in Greenville, South Carolina. So we originally planned to see it in Columbia, South Carolina, which there was over there was a whole gathering of Yidden, but it didn't work out because of the concerns of the cloudiness, etc. So we went to Greenville. It also worked out, it was better. I wanted to make milk afterwards in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I figured it would be better if I go to Greenville and better chance, because traffic going north afterwards was really bad. So it was challenging. So we went to Greenville. So I'm sitting in this parking lot of a mall. I went to a mall over there and I figured, you know, you need to use the bathroom, you need to pull up inside, you walk inside, etc. And Taka got to that early, so we went inside. I said, I'm going to save her, I learned something. But I'm in this parking lot with hundreds of goyim watching the eclipse. An eclipse is an eclipse, you know, totally you see totality. Totality is people who didn't see it don't understand what they missed. That's the best way to describe it. At the end of totality, there's a moment where the moon moves a little bit and the light of the sun shines through. And it shines through, there's a burst of light at one spot, like about 2 o'clock on the eclipse. It's the most gorgeous sight you've ever seen. All these goyim started clapping. And someone's like, why are you clapping? It's like, you know, it's a show, you know. At the end of the movie, you clap, you know, the actor got up and he put on his comedy routine. Like, what are you clapping about? I was just pushing being this ragish, you know. I'm very, you know, chilled out guy. Not a lot of emotions, you know. I was being this ragish, right? And there was one older woman, a grandmother was there with her grandson, who was totally silent. And I was like, why do you need to make a public display? Just absorb the moment. But our society is so much about public displays that they had a show, you know, it was totally destroyed. Right? It's not about, the point wasn't, you saw, you know, imagine the person goes to the Grand Canyon and claps. I saw the Grand Canyon. Like really? There's a gorgeous beauty over there. There's opportunity to realize how puny man is, how great are the headwinds of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Person goes to the Niagara Falls. And he claps afterwards. Like, you know, it was like weirdest thing. Right? So, that they should see a new moon, they're not being this raggish. If they see the eclipse, also not being this raggish. Like, so what, yeah, you know, person says, I just have to take away the sun totally, you know. One day they wake up and there's no sun. You know, like, that maybe will get them, you know, shake them up a little. So, a person should not be misalto berichas of levona, because it's mamish. Be'etzem, the Russian says, I put in the bria, hechatimsa, if you'd be sensitive enough to understand, you see the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly in front of your face. And maybe it's that they didn't understand the cycles of the moon. I mean, the Gemara's understanding of the cycles of the moon, when I gave my share about the eclipse, you know, I described the Gemara's understanding of the cycles of the moon as mind-boggling. The Morris calculation of the cycle of the moon, which was put in the Gemara 2,000 years ago, right? It's a Brisa, 1,800 years ago. It's 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, 3.3 seconds. NASA's calculation today is 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, and 2.8 seconds. It's a half a second difference. Half a second difference, which adds up to 72 minutes in a thousand years. It's mind-boggling. And there, if you study the science, the probabilities are that the way the cycle of the moon was 2,000 years ago, it was perfect. It wasn't even off by half a second. So the Chazal knew how the cycle of the moon. That wasn't the point. Especially they didn't know the cycle. But they had a sensitivity, right? Because I can describe to you exactly how a child develops. But most people, when they see birth, are nisraj. Ah, you understand how it happens. But so what? In other words, I understand how the moon works, therefore what? Right? If we'd be sensitive, we would see. Well, it's an issue of sensitivity to the bria being ahead of Timsa being us to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Batsam, you know, Russia made us sensitive to beauty. It's very clear. The psukim are, there's a concept of the cover of the Sephardis, that the Mishkan has to be built in such a way that there's Tiferis to it. Like, if I come, I'd be a Kalta Litvak. You know, listen, the main thing is, you know, whatever. Like, it looks nice, doesn't look nice, who cares, not important, etc. And one time, the Tels Yeshiva, they're very mock, but the campus should look nice. There's flowers on the campus. And one of the brothers was like, oh, who cares what any flowers were? I said, you know. So it's a good question. It says, you open up, there's a Shir Das about the cover of the Teferis. That, you know, there's a Muslim that the Welcome Torah should be presented in such a way, it should look taka beautiful. Because human beings are made to be in this ragish to Teferis. It's not a chasor in Batsim. It's not trying to say, it's a Yitzhahara. Batsim, the Emes, the Dikazach. And then, it's all concerning. It's garnished, but garnished. You know, I get the payment he's, you know. The Bishop didn't make it just a Hechatim, so he's in Bahamo. That's a toast. It's like the, you have the Yerushalmi that the Bishop's Lacham Esther is a Shana. It's going to person to ask a person, why didn't you taste all the food, different fruits which are available to you? That's Lachal Yitzhahara's. Essen, it's like it's a horror, you know, like that's what you're going to say to him. You know, the Shalmi says it's a chatayna. Pasha, but you knew it's just the reason why the fruit looks so good is just the things that happened to me, but I overcame and he saw it. That's not pshat. The Rasham didn't make the fruit look so luscious and so beautiful just the Hechatimsha to drive you crazy and see if you're going to overcome it and learn Torah. The Rasham gave it to you as a way to taste it and meet him. Feel the beauty that he gave you. The Rasham gave you this wonderful food. Enjoy it. But when you're enjoying it, remember it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu just giving it to you. That's probably a bigger nisoyan than not eating it. And that's probably more of an accomplishment than not eating it. To eat the apple and feel a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But that's why the Rishon made apples like that. Right? the marshal which I give, it's temperamental. The marshal which I give is there was a bachur and tells a shiva, came from Australia. His parents were survivors. They both lost the mishpacha in the war. They found each other after the war. They married. They had one child. They had a son. They sent them away to tell yeshiva to learn yeshiva. They had no money. They sent him. They couldn't afford to bring him home. So he stayed in yeshiva for 4 years. He wasn't been home for 4 years. Calling home was too expensive because those days a one minute call to Australia was $9 a minute. He called home twice a year before Pesach and before Rosh Hashanah. He wrote letters every week. He hadn't been home for 4 years. He goes home. So what's the Yiddish mama going to do when he goes home? She made him a Siddur Shlomo Rishayit that doesn't compare to what that mother made for him. She sits down to his mother's, you know, every food. What does he feel? Steak? He feels his mother's love. That's how you do that. We could do that. So Chazal was saying you could look at the Levon and push it, feel Shechina. But we eat apples and we don't feel the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We eat steak and we don't feel the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So we look at Milabana, so we don't say Kodesh Baruch Hu either. Okay, everybody, so time for a minute.